Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, January 24th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to be directed by J.J. Abrams. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Gentlemen.
He's the man to get if you have a movie with star on the title.
I'm waiting for the inevitable crossover.
I know, that's what I was thinking about too. Make it the same universe.
The Star Wars Trek or the Star Trek Wars?
Star Wars Cross Trek. Yeah. Wars Cross Trek.
They want to use the cross thing in Japan, and we don't talk about that here.
But there will be some sort of, you know, wormhole that they'll pass through, and then the Enterprise will, you know, run into a bunch of the other.
Plus, Abrams is a total weeaboo. I mean, remember Cloverfield?
No.
Oh, really?
I didn't watch it, I don't think.
The best romance movie disguised as a giant monster movie.
Oh, wait, I fell asleep during it.
What?
Okay, I can understand not liking it, but how do you, like, get so bored that you fall asleep during that?
I don't remember. I was watching it with friends, and, like, it was a really nice couch, and I just fell asleep.
I fell asleep playing Tales of Symphonia 2 a couple weeks ago. Like, I was
while you were actively playing?
Yes, I had the Wii remote in my hand, and just, like...
What time was it?
2 a.m.? This was New Year's Day. Like, after staying up all night, I was playing... I was playing the game, and all of a sudden I'm like, nobody said anything in a while. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to click through this dialogue, and apparently I had just been sitting there holding the Wii remote for like about 10 minutes without moving.
Well, at least you realized it without like waking up hours and hours later.
Like face first on the floor.
Yeah, let's see, about that time, that's when I'm... That's getting to the point where I can no longer remember the conversations. We didn't actually call it a night until 3:30.
So speaking of falling asleep, Shogeki no Soma?
Yeah, its first ranking was this week, Shokugeki no Soma. Cooking manga that we've discussed in passing a couple times.
Well, cooking slash tits, I think is the appropriate descriptor.
It ranked third this week behind One Piece and Naruto. So
I am shocked.
And, you know, presumably Toriko. We don't know where that...
But it was the color page, so it's technically not ranked in the sense of being ranked.
It occurs to me that I don't think Toriko is as popular as Shonen Jump wants to make it.
No, it's usually top five.
Top five, but they always try to push it like it's a top one or two manga. They act like it's in the same... I don't want to say league, because it's clearly in the same league as Naruto and One Piece, but it's not the same. It's not quite there yet.
Well, that Jump game that's coming out on PS3, like the first three characters they show is like Luffy, Goku, and Toriko.
And like, Naruto just like a blur in the background of one image.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely want to push Toriko because they know everything else is ending soon. Well, not One Piece, but several other things.
Define soon. We've been talking about Bleach ending soon for a long time now.
Yeah, I saw
the foreseeable future.
And I saw a quote from Kishimoto that was something like, Naruto's not ending as soon as you might think.
That would be a bad move if he tries to keep it going after this.
Well, I think that he's saying that this final arc is going to take that long, is what he's trying to say.
That would also be a kind of stupid move, but not as bad.
I would just love a time skip.
A time skip, have Naruto's kid becoming the real hero of the story.
Naruto's son, Sasuke.
Oh. I'm groaning because that's definitely possible.
Yeah. He could name his... I could totally see him naming his kid that.
So
Uchimaki's.
God damn it, so Bleach.
Yeah, so Bleach. You missed the possible segue there, but...
I saw it, I just... Meh. Yeah. I'm too disturbed at this point.
Anyway, good chapter this week of Bleach.
Actually, probably my favorite of the top are the big three this week.
I was not expecting them to actually show any of this fight.
Yeah, we were all dead wrong last week.
Yeah, completely.
I think I asked and we just all flat said no with no discussion.
Just going back to Ichigo. Nope, we're staying with the new hero of the manga. That's what I'm going with. He's having his training arc and then... Kenpachi is going to save the day.
I'd be okay with that.
The opening of the chapter was a little weird, though.
With Isane and Yachiru. Well, Isane gets a note, I assume, from Inohana explaining what's happening.
Yeah.
And Yachiru just gets a badge?
It's the eye patch.
Yeah.
Oh. So basically, they both know that one of them isn't coming out alive.
Yeah.
I'm sure. The implication. I'm sure that they're both going to end up living.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I have my doubts about Unohana at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, I could totally see them doing away with her.
Because this is her big thing. This is, like, her big moment in the manga.
It's kind of been building this since even the first character book, where they hinted at something with her.
Yeah, because they've always implied that she has the strongest Bankai.
Yeah, they've said that, like, she's terrifying, and in the...
Yeah, everybody was just generally afraid of her during the Soul Society arc.
Yeah, yeah, they continue her fight with Kenpachi, or Zaraki, in this fight.
And
yeah, I suppose that we should start calling him that as opposed to Kenpachi, because they kind of both are.
Yeah.
And Kubo does what Kubo does best and storyboards a nice fight for the
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of paneling that there's not a whole lot to talk about.
I was actually thinking to myself that, oh, this would be nice to see animated. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is no anime anymore.
This is also the first Bleach chapter in a while that I got to the end. It's like, wait, it's done? I just started like 2 minutes ago.
Well, this is how he used to do things, too. He'd have that like chapter of a fight, and it would feel like 4 pages when it's actually like 20.
Yeah.
But here it was nice because I care about this fight.
Yeah.
I could see this final arc getting animated as an OVA or something like that, because I actually, just for comparison, Air Gear, I found out, has OVAs of the absolutely insane stuff towards the end of it. So.
Oh, man. Is there anime Obama?
I don't know.
I would watch that.
I'm going to have to check to see when exactly those are. It was just one of those things where I saw the thing on Netflix, and the actual series ends pretty early on in the manga. Like, it's just a regular 26-episode series, but then there's 3 OVAs that came out, like, last year or something like that.
So we get a little bit of backstory in this fight that...
Kenpachi has fought her before.
Yes. And that was, like, the first time he's ever actually enjoyed fighting.
Damn it, Zaraki. That's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah. It always felt like... I didn't realize Kenpachi was a title until this fight.
Well, they explicit... When he's...
Yeah, they've said that a couple times.
Yeah, I probably just missed it, but I always just assumed it was his name.
That was also, like, 60 years ago, so...
Yeah.
Let's call him Kenny. How about the Yachiru route?
And so she... They established they fought before, and I guess we can safely say that scar on her chest is from him.
Yeah.
Since
they've actually fought, I think they gave each other the scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, although the implication in that one is that Zaraki did not succeed. He didn't.
Right. He lost that fight, but he made her fight for it.
Yes.
So he was, like, ridiculously strong then, and she explains to him that now he's gotten much weaker, he has a bunch more... openings in his stances.
Yeah, without much reasoning behind it, just that he's somehow gotten weaker and this...
Yeah.
I can see making sense that, like, he's gotten so arrogant about his power that he doesn't fight as well anymore.
And if you never fight an opponent that's, like, good enough...
Right.
Your skill... So this actually, weirdly enough, causes Kenpachi to just start crying, which I thought was kind of strange for him.
Well, the only thing in his life he has is power.
Yeah.
And aside from that one fight in Hueco Mundo, he's basically lost every fight we've seen him in.
Yeah, and then he's like, now I will die a miserable death, never having known what it's like to defeat you.
And then it gets weird.
He gets stabbed in the neck and, like, spews blood.
Like, pretty explicitly through the neck.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to them clashing swords, and he's fine.
Yeah, like, him being awake... And so, he has no idea what happened and says, it's not time to use the brain, it's time to get busy off of instinct. And Unohana blames herself, saying... So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Just saying that every time he crosses over the border of death, he comes back stronger.
So, what I notice here is, you know, the thing of, like, he witnessed his own death, you know, kind of instinct thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he spews blood on Unohana when he gets
stabbed. Blood's still there.
Yeah, the blood's still on her cheek. So he actually did get stabbed through the neck and died.
So I'm guessing she healed him immediately.
Maybe. I'm also wondering if that's Kenpachi's power. If, like, he cannot die.
That would
wondering
be neat.
Or maybe this is, like, the... Because Unohana says that this is her fault, I'm wondering if maybe this is something along the lines of... That is the consequence of her Bankai or something like that? Because we haven't seen her use her actual Bankai.
If it's something like if she has a well, remember like Hanataro had a healing sword that he couldn't fight people with. It would only heal them. I wonder if she has something similar.
Like I would say the two major possibilities are either her sword can't kill him, or he has that Super Saiyan thing where every time he's close to dying, he gets stronger.
Yeah, but he got stabbed in the neck, and then all of a sudden he's not stabbed in the neck.
Yeah, like the blade is out the other side of his neck, and it went in his throat.
Right, but she's a healer. That's a thing that.
Well, no, I'm wondering if during their first fight, something it was along the lines of she enjoyed the fight so much that she used her Bankai on him, and the Bankai basically curses him to where he can't die.
Yeah, because the text on the side says about Unohana's sin occurring in the past, and she seems to think this her sin is what has caused this thing to happen to him, the border of death thing.
So it'll be, I mean, I kind of have no real guesses as to this.
Yeah.
And that's nice. That's great in Bleach.
It was such an unexpected thing in what was kind of just a straight fight. All of a sudden it got weird.
Yeah. Like, he could honestly keep the fight going, like, blasé and normal as long as for a couple of chapters. I would still be entertained by that. But that he's actually throwing interesting loops into it is pretty nice.
When you guys got to that
It'd
page.
It'd be interesting to see, like, a couple chapters of her killing him at the end of every chapter and then something else being revealed.
Oh, man, he is Kenny. he dies and then comes back.
Oh, God.
That would be so good.
But yeah, excellent chapter of Bleach. I don't know where it's going to go in the immediate future, but I'm going with the something happened in their last fight which caused her to curse him with undeath.
I'm kind of excited if the next chapter is going to be a flashback to their first fight.
Unless this is the time that Kibutai chooses to go somewhere else.
Meanwhile, something is on Bakuto.
Just because we got a reprieve this chapter doesn't mean it's going to happen next time, too.
I'm going to try and be optimistic just because I don't want it to be any other way.
I mean, clearly he knows this is what people want to see, right? Like,
no.
I don't care about Renji or Ichigo even like a little. I mean, comparison to this, I want to see this way more.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm with you.
But if it comes back next chapter, like the first page is mouth eyes. Oh, well.
Even if this is all we got, I'm glad we got to see some of the fight.
Yeah.
That was more than I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, at least so far it's interesting, and this is my favorite chapter of the big three this week. Which is
Although
very,
not
very
my
rare
favorite
for
chapter of the week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, saying it's Beelzebub is unfair because it's always Beelzebub.
Except
not
for
always.
Assassination Classroom.
Oh yeah, the rare times.
Like the rare.
There have been plenty of times that it's been one of the other ones. They're just the most consistent. But
I think somebody called us out on not picking Beelzebub as our manga of the year.
I think Keller did.
Yeah, because we say Beelzebub so often, but. Well, I think Beelzebub has the highest highs. I don't think it's as consistent as Assassination Classroom.
Well, it just what it does is it overturns the regular tropes and all that sort of stuff of the series by going in a different direction at the end, but it kind of leaves you feeling deflated at the end of every arc. Like, it doesn't finish strong.
So speaking of...
This arc seems to be going in an awesome direction at the moment.
The best.
Well, I'm gonna smug for a little bit first.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I was more accurate than you, so.
Well, I mean, I was saying, oh, they're going to have to do something with Natsume eventually. And both of you were like, no, it just dropped.
We were like,
it's
no.
Not something they ever planned to do.
No, Imran, you're an idiot. You're stupid.
And who's stupid now?
Well, still you, but you were right this time. But you're right, yeah.
That's good enough.
So, the art this week is kind of weird, and it seems really JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Especially, like, the little stars in the text and stuff? With
yeah.
Nasu talking?
I have to wonder if there's not, like, a larger reference going on here, because too much of the shading, and especially Nasu's character design, is very reminiscent of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Maybe he's just watching JoJo.
Yeah, I mean, it's on TV right now, so...
Yeah. Yeah, basically, Nasu has emerged from the wall as he did last week.
Yeah, God, there's even stars in the sound effects. It has to be...
No. Like, look at Himikawa. He looks straight out of JoJo.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, Nasu gets on the wall.
And Nasu leaves his lovely necklace on.
Yes, his they refer to Oga as like, what was it, the wall something?
Yeah, his finishing move.
Yeah. I forgot the name they used.
The burying punch.
That was it. Which is, yeah, as I said before, that's how they establish power levels in Beelzebub.
It's also, how many people you put in the wall.
Yeah. Find out that Nasu is originally from Sore High. He's...
Well, I'm assuming that that's the school that he got sent to.
You're right, because all these people came in with this coming, or this past year.
Good point. I thought maybe he had transferred in, but you're right.
So I don't think Oga's a freshman still. I think he's now sophomore.
He'd have to be.
Yeah.
No, I thought that we established that in last week's chapter they said he was still a freshman.
And I'm confused about how this works then.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But Himikawa gives Oga the warning that people are coming for him. And Oga mentions that Beals is feeling agitated and...
And he grew some eyebrows.
Yes.
Because that is what a true man has on his face.
Well, he has JoJo face.
Serious Beelzebub is serious.
Which is the best glare in the series, I think.
I still have the poop thing on his hand. Making the Zebub symbol look like a butt and then having the motion lines.
Yeah. So, Nasu starts fighting Himikawa. Or not Himikawa, Kanzaki.
Kanzaki, yeah.
Who looks, God, yeah, it's very, very differently drawn.
I have to imagine it's entirely...
He gets his butt kicked.
Yeah. Kanzaki is the power establishment fight of this arc.
And then one of Nasu's followers shows up.
Yeah, and one of Kanzaki's followers, like that very first guy Oga fought.
Yeah,
Onizuka, Masao?
No, Onizuka is the new person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what this dude's name is, but he's always ponytail guy.
Yeah, the guy with the weird hair.
The pigtails.
He tries to punch Nasu's underling and gets slammed back.
Yeah, and the entire thing about him is that he's a senior who is now following this freshman. So
yeah,
that's apparently a big deal because he's somebody who used to fight Tojo on even level.
Then Natsume steps in, much to Imran's delight.
I told you that they'd have to do something eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that page and I instantly knew Imran was going to be enjoying this chapter.
Yeah, I scrolled down to that panel and just thought, ah, shit. I'm gonna have to hear about this week.
See, not only grabs the punch, he like squeezes his hand and makes him like fall to his knees.
Which, if you just, I would like to point out that I specifically said last week that if Natsume fought, he would just catch a punch.
He caught the punch and then squeezed his hand.
Yeah. Okay.
So still power establishment.
And Onizuka says that he's at Tojo's level.
Right.
Natsume is.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if he's actually at Tojo's level, or they just don't know what level Oga's at.
I think
he's operating off of, because that other guy used to fight Tojo at an equal level sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I fought Tojo at an even level. This guy's bringing me to my knees. Ergo, he's at Tojo's level.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So Natsume passes on the duty of fighting Nasu to Oga.
Their general.
Yeah. Which I guess he was back in the Saint Ishiyama arc, or before that, N arc.
He's been the leader for a while, you know, uniting the people.
Yeah.
He is the head of the gang at this point.
So I guess they're going to start a fight and it'll get interrupted somehow, or Oga's going to get just completely punked.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering if this is going to be the first of three of these, because there's the other two freshmen as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We saw Kunaida and Tojo in trouble, too.
That's right, yeah. So maybe we'll see Oga take out this guy and the others take out their respective rivals.
I don't think Oga's taking out Nasu, because I think the whole thread in this arc is going to be that Beelzebub wants to be with the strongest human, and when Oga starts losing...
Yeah, that's true. The hawk took away Beelzebub.
Yeah.
And they're named the eggplant, the hawk, and Fuji.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the threat's going to be that Oga's going to have to become stronger in order to keep Beelzebub, or else he's going to go to one of these other people.
I could see that. That certainly seems to go with the premonition.
Yeah.
So that would be a bit like the whole Tojo thing.
A little bit.
But Tojo also didn't really want a kid. I wonder if they want Beals for some reason.
I wonder if any of these people know about demons.
Well, like I said, his hair seems to be the way that Oga's gets when he's using Super Milk Time or whatever it is.
Yeah, we don't see anime hair like this in Beelzebub very often. Most people have pretty normal hairstyles.
Yeah, and the only time that I remember Oga having seen hair like this at all is when Oga is using the demon powers.
Yeah. Except Himikawa has anime hair, but that's the joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's his whole thing.
He's also a secret Bishonen.
Yes. Which is a joke that he should bring back more. I thought it was hilarious.
They don't want to overuse it.
Yeah, I understand that. But yeah, I can definitely see your theory of other people being stronger than Oga and him having to deal with the fact that he wants Beals to stay. Because he's his father. But yeah. Good chapter, I would say. Good start to the arc, but Beelzebub always has good starts to the arc.
But I would say definitely the best one of the various chapters this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we're back to like the school days kind of thing.
Yeah. Even if it's like super-powered high schoolers, I'm fine with that. Like, I think I like it better than the, you know, very slow mini-arcs.
Ah, I looked up Ponytail's name. It's Shiro Yama. The
Meh.
Big guy. Yeah, just thought.
You know. Because, he was the guy Oga punched at the beginning, and that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, and while we're talking about things we looked up, I also looked up that Air Gear OVA, and it ends right before Barack Obama comes into it.
Ah, God damn it.
Sorry to disappoint you.
I mean, I can see why they wouldn't do that.
Well, actually, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like it might pick up shortly after the anime ended. So who knows? Maybe there will be another one in the future.
I'm looking it up. Japanese school starts in April and finishes in March. So Oga is still a freshman.
Yeah. So I guess towards the end of his freshman year then.
Okay. Enough fact checking.
Fact checking will ruin this podcast.
Always does.
All right, so any final thoughts on Beelzebub?
I like Nasu. His design's really cool.
He looks like a JoJo character.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we should all read JoJo.
No.
I kind of want to watch JoJo. But
JoJo looks so weird and dense. Like, not dense, just like there's so much of it.
It looks like you kind of have to be a little high to watch it. I saw an animated GIF of a guy punching a frog once. That seemed cool.
I played the JoJo game, and even for a fighting game, it didn't make sense.
We need to get Robin back in here. Get his opinion
I think
on this.
That the only thing that I really knew, that's the series with Dio and the Steamroller, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of those JoJo series.
Okay. That's really all I knew about this series before Robin started talking about it.
Like, I think the main connective tissue is the mangaka, and sometimes he'll just make completely different manga and then just make them JoJo manga at some point. Like,
The latest one was like a horse racing manga.
Yeah, for like 20 weeks it was a horse racing manga, then suddenly demons or stands or whatever they call them.
I'd love to see other mangaka do that, like the Full Metal Alchemist Lady, the new one that's like about a farm if just alchemists started showing up all of a sudden.
That would be really
Takahashi
weird.
Basically does that, but that's because she's not a very good writer.
Yeah, she's terrible.
I think she's better at slice of life than she is anything else.
Inuyasha was so bad.
Inuyasha.
So speaking of romance?
So it's sure. A slice of life, kind of? I don't.
Speaking of dog demons? Wait.
We have two chapters of Nisekoi to cover this week.
So we're going to start with 58.
Yes.
Sure? Yes.
Which is a chapter about the best character in the manga.
Yes, it's
Glasses
a one-off.
Girl?
Yes. Miyamoto.
So I reject this premise immediately.
Why?
Who hits a smudge on their glasses and then takes their glasses off and leaves them somewhere to get the
to get the cleaning cloth?
Glasses are portable.
At worst, you like clip it onto your shirt.
Yes. Or you just take it off and like hold it in your hand.
Or you wear them and deal with the smudge until you find the piece of cloth.
Yes. So Nisekoi already kind of lost me. but it was cute, so I'll accept it.
You're saying the premise of a Nisekoi chapter might be slightly hyperbolic? I can't believe that.
Now she's but clearly stuck. He needed the measurements for the briefcase and could not ask her. I mean, wait, what?
So you're saying she's going to stick her glasses into the locket.
and it will unlock.
Then it turns out there's 7 more lockets inside.
All a different color. So anyway, this is just basically fun times with Miyamoto.
Yes.
Yeah. Because she can't see, because she doesn't have glasses.
But she's too proud to get any help, which is pretty funny when she just walks into the wall.
Yes,
yeah,
and she has her glasses.
That takes a certain level of blindness.
Well, it's the comical manga, you don't have your glasses thing. Yeah. Actual people don't do that.
I thought it was really funny when she said she was going to have Raku help her, and she just walked up to a random guy and started following him.
I also like the, I found my glasses, no wait, it's a shoe.
And a Daruma.
Yes.
With both eyes filled in.
I know what the deal with that is.
I don't.
Oh, you get Daruma without an eye, and then or without eyes, and you draw one in, and then you make a wish, and then if your wish comes true, you fill in the other eye.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if that's meant to be symbolic for anything that both eyes are in.
No, I think it's just a generic Daruma.
So speaking of symbolic, I guess the whole thing about this chapter is she's blind physically, but Raku is blind to Onodera's feelings.
Yes.
But then they actually say that, which kind of blunts the message.
Yeah, so basically she gets sick of his crap and tries to flat out tell him that Onodera likes him.
But and then his best friend completely blocks the moment.
In fairness, getting sick of Raku's crap seems easy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised everyone else has not already got sick of it.
I got fed up with it a long time ago.
You're completely surrounded by beautiful women, poor you.
There's this thing I like in these kind of manga where she says basically the entire sentence of the one Onodera likes is you, except for like the last couple letters, and he doesn't have any idea what she's saying.
Of course not. Well, I do wonder how much of that is, you know, translation, how the sentence is actually phrased, etc. And the idea is that in the translation, they go, okay, the sentence is almost finished, but not really. What information is left out of that?
She likes you, Narukami, obviously.
Man, he's so dreamy.
He is. That classy white hair.
And glasses.
But yeah, apparently this makes Raku sick to his stomach that Onodera likes somebody.
So, how terrible.
So Miyamoto tells him that it was just a joke.
Yes, after having a talk with Raku's friend about how something-something friendship strength bonds.
All right, before that, they find her glasses somewhere, and Raku is all roughed up?
Yeah, they were in the bushes.
Okay. I didn't know what that was meant to imply.
They're just dirty. I don't think they fought anybody.
Nah, he had to beat somebody up.
It was just strange because they were like, where were they? And then nobody says anything.
Yeah, I mean, because Miyamoto never left being directly next to those bushes, but everyone else did.
They mentioned the, what's it called? That there was that one corner off in the way where it could have fallen, that you actually had to go through the bushes to get through it, get to them.
So that's probably where they went.
Yeah.
I don't think glasses that fell from a classroom window and then bounced somewhere else would survive.
Well, they're this really rare prescription because she's so blind that she'll walk into walls when she's not wearing them.
Makes sense to me. I like the reaction face Raku gets when he finds out she was quote-unquote joking.
Yes, reaction faces are the best in Nisekoi. And she decides that they're glasses buddies, so that's why she's not going to ruin it for him.
Wait, Raku wears glasses?
No. But they're buddies.
Makes sense to me. However, there is also the implication that his best friend is into one of Raku's girls at this point.
Hmm.
Because Miyamoto says, you know, there's nobody that he likes, and he says, oh, there is someone, but he wants his friend to overcome such a hurdle and gain happiness because Raku's a good guy.
I thought he was talking about Miyamoto.
That's what I thought too, except that doesn't make any sense unless it's somebody that Raku's involved with in some way. Like, his statement doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Because doesn't he think that Chitoge is his actual girlfriend? Isn't he one of the people not in the know?
I'm not sure if he's part of the internet. Yeah, I don't think that he does. No, I think you're right.
But he seems to believe that Onodera and Raku are meant to be together.
Well, I think that he knows that Raku likes Onodera, yeah.
So to him, Raku is just a bastard.
Well, Raku is a bastard.
Well, yeah, but more of one.
But he's his friend.
Yeah, bros before nice women.
Wait, is Onodera aware of...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think she's in on it.
Because otherwise she'd be a huge bastard, too.
Yeah, she...
She was keyed in at some point.
Yeah, when they needed help. Like, she got brought into the fold.
Well, that makes sense.
So anyway, next chapter, 59.
Yes, move on to the next chapter, which is the, you know, actual, like, really interesting one at this point.
Well, also, it starts with popularity poll.
Yay,
yes.
We haven't talked about one of those in a while. This is nice.
Yeah, well, what I found out is that most of the series we follow are really long-running ones, and for the really long-running ones, they stop doing popularity polls and start doing polls on other things that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Like?
Favorite fight in Bleach. Hitsugaya.
So it's basically a popularity poll, but with different words.
Yeah, but they don't care about the characters anymore because they've already done it a couple times, so...
So I'm guessing the popularity polls are just to decide who they're going to merchandise?
Yeah, it's for merchandising purposes, I imagine. And long-running ones, they probably already know what sells, so they don't really need to...
That makes sense.
Anyway, the best girl wins. That's all that matters.
It's pretty close.
I like Chitoge more than Onodera.
Yeah, it actually is really close.
Yeah.
Third and fourth are close, too.
So, like, the super creepy thing is fourth place.
Mari.
Yeah. Where the little message I put there is special thanks to Wai-san in Chibaken. He wrote 1,500 votes for me.
So is that a joke, or is she...
I don't know.
Now, she would still be fourth place, even if that person only voted once.
Yeah.
But that's really weird.
She's his waifu?
Are they allowed to vote multiple times?
Apparently. I mean... Okay.
I wonder if you have to... Is there, like, a card that you send in with the...
I assumed it would just be a card that came with the magazine.
Because then, did he buy 1,500 copies of Shonen Jump and...
I wonder if it's not even that. It might just be an online poll now.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. Shisui seems to be pretty slow on the uptake when it comes to online stuff. Like, that seems to be getting pushed more from the Western side of things than the Eastern.
Like, I never see any instructions for this sort of thing.
Probably because those pages, they don't bother to translate.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, I just think it's funny that even Miyamoto got above Raku. I find that to be amusing.
Well, Raku does not have breasts.
Well, number 11 is Onodera's mom.
Yeah, I love how quickly they run out of principal characters. And then it's like, I don't know, Adachan, bad guy. The author apparently got 10th place.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's who that is. I was trying to figure out who that was.
Yeah, that's the guy that writes it.
So yeah, very small cast, I suppose, for this one, or a very tight cast.
Well, I mean, it's a harem manga, so it makes sense that the girls are all listed first.
It's still amusing. Yeah. Normally you expect the principal male to at least be, you know, somewhat of a redeeming quality to be a little bit higher than, you know...
Well, he got the highest place without breasts.
Yeah.
That's laudable, I suppose. Of all the people, you know, that are male, he was ranked highest.
Yeah, he overcame his handicap and got sixth place.
So anyway, on to the actual chapter. It's apparently almost Christmas in this world now.
Despite being very much past it.
Yeah, it's, you know, this was timed so excellently, and Chitoge's mom is coming to visit.
I love her dread face.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
And we find out that she is, you know, a billionaire, high roller businesswoman.
Makes sense.
Yeah, what? Apparently, like, she's so powerful that the Nikkei stock average falls in line with her mood. And so they very rarely see each other, but she comes over every Christmas, and she's apparently super mean.
Yes.
Yeah. And Chitoge is just straight up terrified of her, so is everybody else in their mafia family.
Their family full of killers is scared of this woman.
Yeah. And she invites Raku over as her boyfriend.
For a formal introduction.
Yes. And when she comes in, she stomps in,
she looks
yells
12, at, for one.
We find out the origin of the ribbon. Her dad, you know, the guy who married this woman, is scared of her.
Well, her dad looks like 50, and like she looks like 17.
Yeah, she's like 2 feet shorter than him.
Like Raku even points out that at best she looks like she's in her 20s.
Well, he says I'd believe it. So I think she's supposed to be upper 20s, lower 30s sort of thing, and Chitoge is half and half, so he's supposed to be American, she's supposed to be Japanese, right?
Yeah. So Chitoge's father didn't complete some sort of deal.
Making friends with someone so that she could gain a business advantage.
Yeah. So she has him locked away in an office.
And threatens to cut out his eyes.
Yes. And then she yells a little bit at Chitoge for her bad grades.
After asking her how old she is.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of messed up.
She's clearly not the most attentive mother.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a point where Chitoge is vibrating like a cell phone.
So there's a ton of amazing faces in this chapter.
Oh, yeah. This was a great chapter for reaction shots.
Yeah.
So yeah, we find out the ribbon was from her mother and that her mother actually doesn't really like it anymore. That she doesn't think it's presentable.
Old.
Yeah, it's old and beat up, and she should just wear a different one.
And after a lot of back and forth, we find out that her assistant has collapsed after working like a 60-hour day. I think they said.
I think it was 70, but yeah,
70-hour work shift. Yeah.
Yeah, and so she recruits Raku to be her new assistant as a test or whatever.
Yeah, to get to know him better, to see if he is a proper boyfriend for her daughter that she cares so much about.
So Raku is promptly drug off by people in suits.
Well, if he does a good job, then she's going to rent them a hotel room.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Which,
for her 16-year-old
Japan,
daughter.
Yes. Yeah. Which, well, Japan, you know.
I mean, this isn't hard to predict. Raku is going to, you know, give her a speech about loving her daughter, and she's going to have some reason about why she's so distant, and then everyone's going to hug.
I'm expecting it to be more, he's going to be one of the only people with a spine and is going to yell at her about it, and she's going to view that as, you know, respecting him.
I could see that.
Either way,
however,
the other thing
that we find out is that she actually remembers him from 10 years ago.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to veer too far from the tropes, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's Nisekoi.
Yeah, I also think it's funny to go past the last page and see all of the Facebook comments of people talking about this series on Facebook, and it's the most depressing thing ever. Just, like, one-liners about who they're rooting for and everything like that.
What's wrong with that?
Is that better or worse than having a podcast for it?
Yeah, those stupid people talking about manga. Losers.
Whatever. But yeah, I don't see any foresee any surprises with this next week.
Yeah, I'm gonna fall behind. He's gonna yell at her.
Yeah, I see yelling at her or lecturing her in some way about how Chitoge cares.
Now that we've met them both, I want to see a fight between Chitoge's mom and Onodera's mom.
The question is, where does Chitoge's mom rank on the list of people that aren't Raku?
Number 6.
Makes sense. This is actually
just
from
this one chapter surpassed everybody else on the cast.
Yeah.
I like Nisekoi when it's like this. Like, this sort of story based with cute drawings and reaction shots.
Yeah, like, when it actually progresses the plot instead of doing the one-offs.
Yeah. When it has weak justification for just an adventure where people don't tell each other what they're actually thinking or feeling.
Also, one thing I like about Nisekoi especially is the completely insane characters.
Yeah.
Like this crazy-ass woman that's her mom.
So your favorite? What you're saying is your favorite character is Marika, since you like the insane people so much?
Sure, yes. Yes.
Well, you have a thing for women exactly like Chitoge's mom.
I don't follow. Oh.
You follow completely.
So, assassination classroom.
So this is the one where the conclusion to the Irina arc. Where last week, Kurosuma, they tried to stab Kurosuma and he took, I forgot her master's name. Whatever.
Lovro, yes. Something like that.
Yeah. Lovro?
We don't care about his name that much.
Eastern Lava. European guy's knife and slammed his wrist into the floor.
Breaking it.
Yeah. Because Kurosuma is apparently a huge badass. So, our Kuro-sensei puts on a cheerleader outfit and a baseball cap.
And his, you know, trying to motivate him to continue trying because he is actually concerned now.
But your Eastern European guy explains that he can't even kill Kuro-sensei right now.
I do like, you know, world-class assassin just going like, oh, wrist broken. Gotta clock out for the day.
And then, for some reason, Mewtwo.
Yes, and Ash Ketchum character with a net.
Yeah, a broken net, but...
As he explains, you know, catching something that's uncatchable, or obtaining something that's unobtainable.
Also, there was a pun that I didn't realize, that Kuro-sensei's shirt says Kurose, which apparently means kill him, which I'm guessing is a joke with Kuro-sensei in general.
Well, yeah, no, his name is the Unkillable Teacher, if I'm not mistaken. That was something that they gave that name to him in the first chapter.
Ah.
And after the Pokemon reference is a, I think, Romance of the Three Kingdoms reference. It kind of looks like that art style.
I love the arena picture, which is just like a Nobunaga dude. Oda or something with blonde hair.
And ability, bitch. And
he's getting a lot better at these sight gags.
Kurosuma's ability is straight lace.
Like, they're not even random anymore. They're
and seduction proof.
Yeah. I can't read what it says under Arena's ability.
Oh, it says excels at seduction techniques.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, European guy is still out. He's out of the competition now. But Arena still has to stab Kurosuma, or Kurosuma gets his 1 minute or 1 second with Kuro-sensei.
Yeah, so Irina's the only choice, and she hatches a plan.
Yes, and so, you know, he compliments her on doing such a great job, such as, you know, mail ordering sexy underwear.
Yes. That he somehow knew about.
How much of the day do you think he spends just watching Irina without her knowing?
Probably a little too much.
Well, his metabolism's high enough that, you know, he can be doing everything else at the same time.
And then they bring the students back, because we haven't seen them in a while.
And it's like,
they're not
yeah.
important to this arc.
Hey, there's Karma and Nagisa and Girl Nagisa. Okay, they've fulfilled and earned.
They're like that one guy from The Walking Dead. T-Dog?
Oh,
he would just be there in a bunch of scenes, yet never say anything.
Well, especially this arc, which is all about the teachers.
Yeah. So Irina uses her one weapon, which was go up to Kurosuma and try and seduce him.
By taking her shirt off.
Yeah. I like that.
And then, you know, says, if you let me, you know, do it, then you can come behind this tree here and I'll give you something good.
But first, when European guy is explaining why Irina's her event, why she never really knew advanced combat techniques, is because when she's already... the stuff she already knows would put people off. And they illustrate this by her slapping a roach against a wall.
With a fork.
Is it with a fork? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's dining with him and she takes her fork and then tosses it and hits the cockroach on the wall.
While trying to look cute. But yeah, so she takes off her coat and drops it on the ground next to Kurosuma and does the whole seductive thing behind the tree. And then tries it, like, gets on his other side and tries again by telling her she's, here I come. And immediately does some sort of crazy rope plan with her jacket.
Yeah, catches Kurosuma's foot and flips him around midair.
Yes.
Which she had disguised it underneath of her coat.
And inside of her purse.
Yeah.
And then she gets on top of him and is about to stab him when he catches the knife. And then I guess... he just gives up.
Yeah, which is a little bit of a disappointing end to this arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the point is that he's definitely superior to anybody else in this at this point.
I guess it's kind of a rock and a hard place, as, like, you can't make it so Arena is more talented than Karasuma, but you can't write Arena out.
She could have outsmarted him with this and just actually ended up stabbing him instead of him just giving it to her for no reason.
But I think even outsmarting him kind of ruined his character a little bit. Because he's supposed to be that big line of defense between Koro-sensei and the students.
Yeah.
Like, he's that guy that could probably kill Koro-sensei if he tried.
I kind of wish that it would have ended up that everybody is looking at it from a certain angle, and I'm wishing that he had stopped her not by stopping the arms, but by deflecting it just enough that it would have missed his neck, but to everybody in the room, it looked like she got him.
Hmm.
So the two of them would know that he's actually superior, but he would have gone along with it, with the same logic that he has now, but it wouldn't have been him giving it up.
I guess the logic, like the story reason for Karasuma doing it is that she's a better teacher than, you know, teenager as an assassin. So I guess they're trying to imply that he's working for the students now.
Well, I think that the idea is that by showing her continuing to try and succeeding, then the students will believe that they can assassinate somebody that is unassassinatable.
I just find it a little weird that, like, fate of the world on the line, he has an opportunity to kill a monster. He's like, ah, whatever, this girl's about to cry. I'll give it to her.
I think he likes Koro-sensei, though.
Hmm.
And he also, you know, he seems to know a bit more about his origin and everything else. And makes the assumption that Koro-sensei would have that one second he would do something to where he couldn't be killed.
Which we find out
and
at
then
the
we'll
end.
See at the, yeah, yeah. The final panel is the suit of armor that he made for himself.
Yeah.
Which I now want to see him wearing that at some point.
It's pretty awesome armor.
I definitely think that he's going to come around to thinking Koro-sensei can be reformed or won't kill or won't destroy the world. Like, he'll have a chance to kill Koro-sensei and won't take it.
It's kind of weird to think that, like, Koro-sensei has shown no homicidal tendencies at all, yet has threatened
to
destroy
the
world.
He did blow up the moon.
Yeah, but that's like it.
Well, I mean,
oh,
I don't
yeah,
think
that's
he,
all. You know.
I don't think he is a bad monster. I think he just made that threat to teach the class.
But I could see Karasuma realizing this, that something more is going on here.
Yeah, I think he's probably already realized that he's just not...
I do want to find out why the moon was blown up. Like that's kind of the standing elephant in the room is, the moon is blown up. Why?
Because it looks awesome whenever it's nighttime. Crescent moons are the best moon.
I wonder if they're going to pull something like he didn't actually blow up the moon, he just moved it somewhere. Or moved half of it.
He moved the real moon and put like a paper mache one in this place that he made.
It's reasonable for this manga.
He'll just go fast enough to break through the, you know, dimensional barrier to another place and pull the moon through.
Oh, he moved all the rocks somewhere else and he'll go like reassemble it.
Also, that one panel of Arena walking away after she stabbed Karasuma is actually a really well-drawn panel.
The one of her all sweaty.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the students in the background cheering.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't do environments that often.
No, he does a lot of white backgrounds.
Yeah. And I think he'd probably just like Photoshopped her onto this, but still. It looks nice.
So it was a good arc. I'm a little disappointed in how it just like, whatever, let her stab me kind of ending. But
yeah.
It kind of flopped over the finish line, but...
But it was still satisfactory.
Still 8 out of 10.
I think if they just had given Karasuma a little bit more motivation to do that, like, at least outwardly made it clear. Like, if he was thinking that, like, if he actually just outright said, it would motivate the students to kill Koro-sensei.
Well, he kind of did.
Did he outright say it?
What was the specific line?
He says he can't just give up. He says, like, you'd be able to deal with... Like, you'd really be able to deal with the sword who won't quit today or any other day.
Yeah,
if the students learn to challenge themselves by watching her earnestly overcome even the most difficult of tasks, that will be reflected in the increase of their skill as assassins.
Right, that's what Kuro-sensei said.
Oh, okay. That's him talking then.
Kurosawa just seems to be like, well, he probably wasn't going to let me kill him anyway.
Right, which I felt was weak justification.
Yeah.
Truthful, but yeah, weak.
So I don't know much about guesses, because it's kind of the end of an arc, and who knows what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I assume they're starting it.
I think it's going to go back to the current antagonist. I think that the next arc is going to deal with the principal in some way.
Well, there's still another assassin, isn't there?
Right. Yeah, there was another assassin coming in.
Oh, yeah. That's
because
right.
Even the Eastern European guy made mention of him.
Yeah, Lovro was the one that helped pick out who the assassin was.
Yeah, so they're probably next.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then that's the guess.
All right. I guess
speaking
that's
of end of arcs, kind of.
Well, One Piece doesn't end arcs cleanly. But I guess if there was anything to end a One Piece arc, it would be a giant party.
That does happen quite a bit.
Yes.
So the caribou thing at the front.
Is that his crew or is that
No,
Marines?
I think it's I think it's something else. Because their logo seems to be a star, which I don't think we've seen before.
And also he's wearing a star jacket.
Yeah, that the old lady gave him. They call him Captain Gabble.
Yeah, he's just going to end up getting a new crew of his own, so then they don't have to deal with the brother anymore, I guess is the point of this entire arc.
Is he just, like, fumbling his way into a higher position somewhere?
He is the new world's buggy.
Yep.
I don't like that. Just that idea. I don't like caribou in general.
I agree. He's mediocre.
At best.
He's no buggy.
I am ambivalent to him.
Like if you removed caribou wholesale from the entire manga, nothing would be changed. Like, not a single thing.
Well, no. The only thing that would be changed is why the fishmen, or why the mermen were after the Straw Hats, because they thought they were kidnapping the mermaids.
But that was like... That wasn't necessary to that arc, really.
Well, no, but that's why some of them got arrested and were in the palace. I mean, it did definitely influence the course of that arc.
I feel like caribou just gets too much screen time for the character he is.
I will agree with that.
Yeah, it's his cover arc, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Wapol got a cover arc, so, you know.
So G5 has drawn a line across the ship, I guess?
They've literally drawn a line in the ground.
Yeah. Like, what's the Odd Couple style?
Yeah. Marines on one side, pirates on the other.
And Smoker
Except
just
for the
him
pirates
idiot.
That they have arrested, such as Brownbeard, who turned himself in because he figures they will get treated by the Marines.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which, given what we've seen of the Marines, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, put much stock in that, because Impel Down, not a very nice place.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to poison. Specifically poison.
The Marines are going to extract whatever Caesar Crown is working on from them. Otherwise, they just wouldn't mention it.
I don't know. I think this
I think it's just a way to write off Brownbeard.
Yeah. He's just writing Brownbeard out of the story.
Yeah, Luffy apparently does not care about the line rules. And is freely crossing over.
I enjoy how Baby Five, Buffalo, and Caesar are all like frozen in a big block of ice.
Yeah.
But they fish them out of the ocean, obviously. And then they're trying to repair this tanker because the tanker is probably going to, you know, take the kids back and that sort of stuff.
Right, and they're also repairing the Merry-Go or Sunny-Go?
Sunny-Go.
It needed repaired?
Didn't Luffy throw it at them?
No, that was the G5 ship. That
they're only repairing the tanker.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're
I
only repairing
it. Frankie was helping.
He's the ship, right?
He's the robot, so. Yeah, and he's helping and Usopp is, you know, directing.
I do like how they only need to repair it because Frankie blew it up.
So Chopper accuses Law of murdering people because he can't find him or the kids.
Well, I think he walked in on what Law was doing to the kids.
Oh, he was doing the surgery?
Yes. Yeah, cutting them up.
He probably walked in as Law was cutting the head off of a child or something.
Brooke admits that he killed Kinemon because he's broken.
Yes, and then he somehow breaks out of it and it's not explained.
Yeah.
Which I guess, is kind of bugging me.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened. Like, did I miss a page?
No. Oh,
when he's broken, he's not actually in pieces. Just like all the rock cracked and then underneath the rock was him.
You can see like little pieces here and there. Like he's clearly separated.
Those are, I guess those could be bits that were broken off, and what looks like what looks to us like it's in the different pieces is probably just the cracks in the rock.
I don't know, look at his hips and his gut. That's clearly broken.
Ah, well, he's been cut in half before.
Yeah, but he's put together by Law.
I'm just he
gets back together somehow.
I kind of wonder if Devil Fruit users might be immune to, since it's derived from Devil Fruit.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So then, later on in the chapter, they establish that that they get from Caesar how to heal the Marines, so the Marines go back in.
Yeah,
but that's for the non-Devil Fruit people that got froze. So true. Anyway, Momonosuke transforms back into a human.
Somehow.
Which, yes, again, somehow.
And Luffy just realizes that he was the dragon as well. Because he hadn't pieced that together quite yet.
Yeah.
Momonosuke looks hilarious. Yes. Head.
But he's still not eating like a good samurai. And Law emerges from the children's room explaining that he performed surgery and cured them all.
Yeah, he cut the poison out of them.
Which is pretty impressive.
Takes a skilled hand.
Yes, yeah. And then Mocha is still unconscious, but is going to be alright.
I did like the one-off line after they've been calling him a raccoon for the whole page of just, I'm a reindeer, like in really in really tiny text next to him.
And then he just moves on immediately.
He's used to it by now. And then we find out the Marines are going to be taking the kids too, so, you know, they're getting put on a bus as well.
Right, because Toshigi begged to take them.
Yes, and Nami was okay with it because of the tie back to her old adopted mom, who was a female Marine.
Yeah, she has a soft spot for them. And then Sanji makes some really delicious-looking food.
That he apparently learned from the Okama, or Nukama.
Yes. Yeah, Nukama-style cooking for some reason.
Well, I guess they haven't established what Sanji has really improved on.
He can fly.
Well, it seems like he has magic food now.
Yeah.
This one, like, restores your whatever.
Strength.
Vitality.
Yeah.
So everyone eats but Momonosuke, who, for some reason, is still on hunger strike. I guess because they're pirates?
Well, no, because they're giving him the food. The only food that he's allowed to eat is food he takes himself. That's why he ate the devil fruit instead of eating the food that was given to them in the...
Yeah.
What's it called? In the laboratory. He ate the fruit because he found it for himself.
And then Kinemon starts eating the food and tells him it's all right to eat it.
And then he starts crying because it's so good.
And then there's implications that something bad has happened in their past with the let's live on.
Find out when they join the crew.
Yeah, they have a tragic backstory that we need to learn about. It's confirmed for the crew.
So everyone starts partying and Law's like, well, people are going to come here eventually. Shouldn't we do something? Like leave?
Luffy agrees.
Luffy's like, that's a good idea. I should definitely tell people. And then they party.
Yes, he yells, time to party, instead. And Law realizes he's made a huge mistake.
Again. And then
Law,
you know,
make mistakes.
We find out the Marines go to rescue all of their guys.
Everybody's happy. Nothing bad will happen. No.
The smoker has a nice heart-to-heart with Law.
Was I the only one hearing the song they sing in that party they had with Brooke in my head when reading this?
Big Sake.
Yeah. Basically the One Piece party theme.
Yeah, everybody has a happy ending.
Yes, so, and then we find out what happened during that initial conversation between Law and Luffy.
Yes, that the emperor they're going after is Kaido of the Hundred Beasts. So he's apparently the one with the Zoan army.
He was the one that took out Moria's group, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
And Luffy says, not that the order really matters, I plan on wiping the floor with all four of them, so including Shanks.
Yeah, he's disappointed they're not fighting Shanks first.
Well, he didn't seem disappointed. He was just commenting. So Shanks isn't first, then.
Shanks is either the last one or Blackbeard is.
I'm guessing Blackbeard is going to take out Shanks, and then Luffy will take out Blackbeard.
I don't know. I think it is important thematically for Luffy to defeat Shanks.
I think Luffy will be there when Shanks is taken down.
Do you guys realize that this is the fourth time in the manga that Shanks has been mentioned?
Fourth time?
Yeah, well, he's only shown up three times.
Really?
Yes, the beginning, the Whitebeard thing, and the war. I know, it seems like he's a way more principal character than he is.
Yeah.
There's been one or two other times that he's appeared. Like, there was the time that, what's his name? Mihawk took the bounty thing to him, the news about Luffy. That was shortly after Mihawk fought against him. And I think that there was another thing where they showed it after he got to 300K, right? Or 300 mil.
Maybe.
I mean, they were really, really short appearances still, but...
Yeah. Still, he doesn't show up that much, so it's nice to see him mentioned again.
Yeah.
So I guess Luffy realizes that he cannot become Pirate King without defeating the four emperors.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he's gung-ho on picking fights.
Yeah, it's just the next step in becoming the Pirate King to him.
Right. I like how he doesn't even, like, think about it. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's one of those things.
I do think, however, that going on to predictions for next chapter, so in the immediate future, I think we're going to see the first time one of these parties gets crashed. I think Doflamingo or the other, or Kuzan are going to show up in the middle of the party.
Didn't Kuma crash their party on a...
No, they hadn't started partying yet.
They were all unconscious.
Yeah, he showed up, like, right after they beat Moria.
That's right. Okay, and then he left.
Because they all got their shadows back, and that knocked him unconscious, I think.
Yeah, I fully expect Doflamingo to just drop out of the sky in the middle of this party.
I still expect Doflamingo and Kuzan to meet each other. Maybe in the ocean, or maybe here.
I don't know that we see Kuzan.
I think that there had to have been a reason for him to tease that.
Yeah, which way is Punk Hazard again?
That away.
I think that both of them are going to appear in some way before this entire thing actually ends. But I think that the big thing is that this will be the first time that the party gets crashed. And I think that it was implied by Law saying, we don't have time for this, we need to get a move on, etc., etc.
Yeah, I don't think Luffy understands the gravity of what he's done quite yet.
I think he understands fine. I think he doesn't care.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like Luffy.
Luffy's figures, I have to beat him eventually anyway.
So now that this arc is basically over, where would you rate this in terms of One Piece arcs?
It was a pretty good one. Above Punk Hazard, I think. Or...
This one party arc is above the rest of Punk Hazard.
Yes. No, I like the ice side way better than the fire side. Above Thriller Bark, I meant.
Yeah.
I would put it, yeah, above Thriller Bark... Above Fishman Island, certainly.
Yeah, above Skypiea.
Skypiea
and Fishman are the bottom. I think that's...
Yeah.
Above most of the ones that were in East Blue. I don't necessarily know if I'd put it above Arlong Park, but...
Yeah, I put it below Arlong Park and below Water 7, certainly.
Below Alabasta.
Yeah, and below... Yeah. Below Alabasta itself, I would put it above Little Garden, you know, as a part. And above Drum Island, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much square in the middle.
Fourth best arc.
Yeah. Middle leaning upper.
Yeah. Like, it would be equal to Alabasta for me if Alabasta didn't end so strongly.
God, man, that crocodile fight.
That crocodile fight, the hands in the air, when Vivi was coming to the coast.
The nuke going off.
Which did nothing, but still amazing.
Including the person who was carrying it. And especially in the anime, the, like, operatic classical music during the final fight.
Yeah, I think you linked me to the Crocodile Luffy fight the other day, Imran, in the anime.
Yeah.
That was just him coming out of the ground, punching Crocodile in the face over and over again was amazing.
I forgot the track, but I was pointing it out because it was used in Ashura's Wrath and the new Killer is Dead trailer. It's like something for a new world or something like that. But it's a really good track to see people fight to. Yeah, when Luffy was bleeding and punched Crocodile, that's one of the top 10 moments of One Piece.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a good arc.
Yeah.
You see where it goes.
It was solid.
If the next arc is this good or better, I will be more than satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have another Fishman Island.
God, I hope not.
So, onward and upward.
Depends on what they do with it. If it just becomes... I don't know if I want it to continue story-wise, or I want them to just, you know, go to a random island and have their own adventure there.
I think that the random island ones are fun, but they have to be really short. When they take too long, it's...
Yeah.
I think the problem we're facing here is they have Law with them, and he's going to want to get things moving.
Yeah, and there's also so much plot to cover still.
So I think we'll get through this stuff and then back into random adventures.
I don't know, this feels like one of those big things that's going to last a while. Like how Alabasta, I mean, if you wanted to count everything from when Crocodile sent his agents after Luffy, including like the Vivi stuff, that was a long time.
Well, that starts too, from... It? No, it would start back to all the way in, what's it called? Whiskey Peak.
Right.
Yeah, right after they get into the Grand Line.
Like,
yeah.
That's years.
That takes over Drum Island, too. That absorbs that into that arc, if you think about it that way.
So I can see this being an arc that size.
Yeah, I assume it is. I just think it's going to be after that it's back.
Like, I don't know that they can fire on all cylinders story-wise that entire time. Like, I think there's going to need to be a little bit of downtime in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't fire on all cylinders for the entire Alabasta arc, if we're including all the way back to, you know...
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Law is just going to be pushing them to go straight for Doflamingo or straight for, what's his name? Kaido.
Yeah, well, I'm saying unless somebody gets sick, I think that they're going to be staying to the, you know, main plot line for the time.
I think
that, you know, like,
they're
going to
drop
like
Kinemon and
at most we'll have a side arc where we'll go to wherever, to Wano and see what and handle whatever's going on there.
It would actually be neat to see, like, a traditional Japanese, you know, old school village.
It is One Piece Japan, right?
Yeah.
I think
it would give Oda it gives Oda an excuse to draw kimonos, which he seems to love.
Yeah, I don't know. Does Kinemon strike you guys as a permanent crew member or a Vivi?
No. I think they're going to drop him off somewhere, and he'll live happily with his son.
Yeah. His son is too much baggage,
well,
I think.
Kinemon doesn't, but Momonosuke almost feels like one.
I don't think he'll go anywhere without his father.
Unless his dad dies.
Yeah, but then that would be terrible. And also, I mean, it's just one of those, like, assuming someone's going to die in One Piece is not the
is a fool's
safest
errand.
Bet. Yeah, like when Ace died. Tumblr.com, like that came out of nowhere.
Is he still dead?
Let's check. Yes.
Okay.
Turns out he is. But yeah.
So, speaking of dead characters, or do you want to keep talking about One Piece?
Let's go on to...
Yeah, we're already going pretty long here.
Alright, so speaking of dead characters...
Speaking of dead
Neji
characters...
Neji is still dead. Tumblr.com.
Suddenly the most important person in the world for some reason.
Like, okay, they cannot bring Neji back now. Like, all of this will mean nothing if he ever comes back. Like, it will erase a lot of the character development, a lot of the drama of this arc, if, like, Obito does a resurrection jutsu and brings Neji back to life.
Yeah.
But yeah, Neji has this moment, like, well, Neji didn't have any moment, he's dead. Lee has this moment where he's remembering all his stuff with Neji, where Neji's just telling him what a failure he is.
Being insulted that he would ever think of him as a rival.
Yeah. So he should look for people. I'm guessing is during the Chunin exam, because they appear to be in a forest of some sort.
I think it's supposed to be like pre them becoming ninjas when they were in school.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But basically it was before Neji got his ass handed to him by Naruto.
Yeah, and he refers to his eyes as onyx for some reason.
It's a Japanese expression.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, kind of like, as long as this heart still beats, it's as long as my eyes are black.
Despite the fact he has pure white eyes.
Yeah, which Lee does point out, I noticed.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, Naruto gives Lee chakra.
Oh, and the best panel of this chapter. Just Lee's resolve, and then he gets patted on the back by Naruto and flares up with chakra.
Which, okay, when did Lee learn how to use chakra?
He didn't.
Yeah.
Right now. You just saw it.
You know what always disappointed me? We never saw that fight where they fought their clones.
Oh, yeah. I think I assumed at the time that was just made for filler, and I think they did do it for filler in the anime.
Yeah, I think they did do it for filler.
Because that seemed like that was the only other fight they've had in post-time skip.
Yeah, I think there's actually a lengthy filler arc with that stuff.
Yeah, and I seem to recall it not being that good, because that was back when I watched the anime still. It was okay, it had so much potential, but it was... eh.
It was just so weird in the manga where, they showed them all facing off, and then later it's like, oh yeah, that was cool, you guys should have seen that.
Boy, that was an amazing fight.
Naruto be vague about things.
So yeah, everybody's standing around looking all cubey. He gives it to Tenten.
And still, post-mortem conversations with Shikamaru's father.
Yeah.
Who I guess is also named Shikamaru.
No, it's...
Oh, Nara. It's Nara clan, never mind.
Yeah, not the Shikamaru clan.
The elder Naru.
Yes.
Shikaku, or something like that.
That sounds familiar.
Gaara's... our tailed beast is called Shukaku.
Who cares, okay? It's
Shikamaru's dad, whatever. Yeah.
Scary Mick Ponytail Beard.
I'm hoping this is the last time they have this conversation. Apparently he said all these things within the span of a minute.
Well, telepathy.
Yeah, but still. It's very cheap to keep using that in.
It's mostly about the plan to amplify Naruto's and the Kyuubi's chakra into the other people. And the Kyuubi thinks about how Naruto's the only person that could possibly do this.
Yeah, because
I thought that was a neat little thing about how he's, able to perfectly fit into everybody's slots. I thought that was a neat...
It's not just a high five, there's actually some skill to what he's doing.
Because he has the blood of his mother and his father's talent. So he's the only one that can do this. And then there's a pretty nice panel of the army, all Kyuubi chakra behind Naruto.
Yeah,
except for his incredibly wide face.
Yes.
Bugs me. His eyes are too far apart.
I imagine it looks probably better within the magazine.
Yeah, when there's...
Because the fold's probably right there.
Yeah, it might have been done that way on purpose.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would look too close or something.
Yeah.
So then, an all-out assault on the Ten Tails begins, which is...
Well, first, Obito starts mocking Naruto more.
Oh yeah, Obito's a dick.
Yeah. Even Madara's like, wow, this guy's a dick.
Yeah, they use the Ten Tails to make a giant birdcage to mock Neji's death even more. I mean, that's an elaborate way to be a dick, to make a giant birdcage surrounding all of them. So
Naruto starts throwing Rasen Shurikens, which I've now realized are Destructo Discs.
Well, no, they also caused that entire sphere. Well, they used to cause that entire sphere thing that was like a giant
tornado.
Yeah, tornado of viral things that attack on a cellular level.
But at this point now, they just cut people in half.
Yeah, and he's double fisting them too. So they all attack as one big swarm, which is kind of weird looking.
What might be the coolest panel of this issue is one disc hits Obito and cuts him in half, and
it's phasing through him. But
is it?
He's doing his phasing thing, but the blade cuts through the connection to
Yeah, because he can't phase that; he can only phase his body.
But the other one is Lee kicking through Madara.
Yeah,
and also breaking his connection.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, Sakura becomes even more useless because Hinata is able to punch Naruto's shoulder back into its socket.
Yeah.
But that was nice that Hinata was the one to help him.
I like how they don't even explicitly say it's Hinata.
Yeah, just somebody gentle fists him, and you can see in the shot that it's Hinata behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like, thanks, Hinata, and some other ninja goes badass.
So...
I miss that ninja. He should come back.
So... If you had told me, 100 chapters ago that Lee would be fighting Madara on even ground...
With Kyuubi chakra.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have believed you.
So Naruto gives a speech about how he hopes no one ever severs their bonds with him.
Yeah, he never severs a bond, and he hopes nobody severs a bond with him.
And then just a picture of an aloof Sasuke.
Yes. And they found awesome ponchos somewhere.
Yeah. I like Orochimaru's the best. It's like double-breasted.
Yeah, he's got really broad shoulders, too, for some reason.
I can't tell where they are, but it looks like Konoha.
Yeah, I think it's the
Uchiha village.
Yeah, Uchiha State. Post, you know, it's in disrepair because nobody lives there anymore.
Yeah, because Sasuke was the only one left.
Yeah. So yeah, they're definitely going after something Uchiha related.
I'm guessing it has to be that thing they left under the Uchiha shrine or whatever.
Maybe he'll discover the true secret of the Sharingan again.
Did they ever explain, like, that one guy Itachi killed to get his Mangekyo?
Yes. That was okay. That was the eyeball that Danzo had, I believe. There was something with it.
I don't remember any of Itachi. Like, there have been so many versions of his backstory at this point.
You don't remember which one's the true one.
Yeah. But basically, I'm guessing they're going to keep doing Sasuke teasing for a little while.
No, I bet we get Sasuke next chapter.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to jump back to it.
Because Madara and Obito are shaken at this point, and they've fallen into retreat. They jump back a little ways.
Also, Madara got kicked in half.
Yeah, well, he's fine.
But yeah, it's... I don't think they can do much more with this fight right now without ending it.
Yeah, well, because their ties getting severed to the Ten Tails might be kind of a bad thing for everybody. Because weren't they the only ones keeping it in check?
Yep. Now it's going to go crazy and kill a bunch of people that no one's going to care about as much as they cared about Neji. Not enough to save him, but enough to mourn.
Yeah. Well, of course. Why would you want to, you know... Why would you actually try and be proactive and save somebody?
Sakura just standing in the back like, wow.
He is an under house Hyuga. That is his job, is to die. They were just letting him do his job.
Speaking of which, Obito makes some reference to one of the Hyuga, like, having that mark on their head.
Yeah.
Shouldn't all of those guys be dead?
It's a
branching off of the main family.
Yeah, and it's only activated when they want to, like, emergency kill them. Like.
Right, but I mean, like, shouldn't the person he's talking to not be an underhouse Hyuga? Like, isn't that Hinata's father?
No, Hinata's father is the main house, right?
Right, but yeah. Why is Obito making reference to that cursed mark?
Because I think he's just mocking Neji some more.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Like, it seemed to me he was talking directly to the Hyuga that was, you know, saying Neji's death won't be in vain.
Yeah.
And the only other person that could be is Neji's father, and he's, you know, dead.
Dead. Well, I'm sure that there's other underhouse Hyugas.
Just some random Hyuga being like, I love Neji, like a son.
Well, you know how those families are in Naruto. They're all weird and identical.
But yeah, this is a good chapter. So I think, you know, the ending was a little stupid.
Yeah, well.
I think it's really weird they're all moving around like a swarm. Actually, they make a bird now that I look at it for some reason.
Because cage bird. Because the area around them is a cage.
Oh. That's dumb.
Because Neji.
Symbolism and roundhouse kicks. Yeah.
That is kind of hilarious that Lee
is fighting Uchiha Madara.
Yes.
Because they kind of establish him as like one of the stronger characters at first. Like when you see him early on.
Yeah. Obviously he used the chakra to open all of his vaults.
Yes.
Or all of the gates.
Yeah.
That'd be a kind of a cool explanation if he actually did do that. Because they did set up that there's all these gates, but they never open all of them. Because isn't death like halfway through the gates?
They just like explode. Because the human body isn't meant to take that much chakra, I guess, or chakra flow.
Lee died doing what he loved, exploding.
Lee used explode. Lee fainted.
It was super effective.
Well, kinda.
Too many Pokemon references this week.
Or not enough. Yeah. Alright, we should wrap this up because it's been a long podcast.
Yep.
Alright. This has been your Thursday, January 24th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Sure.
Thank you.
See you all next week.
Yeah,
for some reason, I got a spam email from that's trying to pretend to be a woman.
What?
It's one of those, like, you know, those, you know, hey, beautiful, how are you sort of things. I am looking for interesting, sedate male for a very long time, but there are so many assholes who are just seducing me to go to bedroom and then staying me alone.
Sedate males?
Yes. I'm sure you're from their quality. So if you are nice guy, then I'm waiting for your answer.
That sounds legit. She sounds hot. Probably.
She also mentions pictures that she did not include.
Oh, man, you have to click that PDF attachment.